नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation. Chapter 3, entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. Text number 7. Dvitiyam tu bhavayasya rasatalam gatamahim uddarishyanupadatt yagyeshah saukaram vapuhu. Dvitiyam, the second, tu, but, bhavaya, for the welfare, asya, of this earth, rasatala, of the lowest region, gatam, having gone, mahim, the earth, uddharishyan, lifting, upadatta, established, yatyeshah, the proprietor or the spiritual enjoyer, saukaram, hoggish, vapuhu, incarnation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Enjoyer of all sacrifices accepted the incarnation of a boar, the second incarnation, and for the welfare of the earth, He lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe. Translation, please repeat. The Supreme Enjoyer of all sacrifices accepted the incarnation of a boar, the second incarnation, and for the welfare of the earth, He lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe. Purpose. The indication is that for each and every incarnation of the personality of Godhead, the particular function is executed is also mentioned. There cannot be any incarnation without a particular function, and such functions are always extraordinary. They are impossible for any living being to perform. The incarnation of the boar was to take the earth out of Pluto's region of filthy matter. Picking up something from a filthy place is done by a boar, and the all-powerful personality of Godhead displayed this wonder to the asuras, who had hidden the earth in such a filthy place. There is nothing impossible for the personality of Godhead, and therefore He played the part of a boar. By the devotees He is worshipped, staying always in transcendence. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here in this third chapter, we have all the incarnations, the most few selected incarnations are presented here, around 22 I think. So actually the incarnations are innumerable, there is no, we cannot count. And as mentioned in this chapter, they come like waves, so we cannot count actually, but some of them are mentioned here. And here in the purport we see all incarnations, they come for a specific purpose. So in this chapter there is a small, just a description, just in one verse for each incarnation they just mention the purpose, why they come. And then in further cantos, we have the whole Leela, that this one verse expand in a few chapters sometimes. And then we have, like for example, today we have Shaukaram, Rupam, the Varaha, Lord Varahadev. So his the pastimes, I think in third canto is for the description how Varahadev came. So here we see there is a specific purpose that how incarnation of God comes. And any Vishnu Tattva, as we know, we call all Vishnu Tattvas as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So any incarnation, in whatever form they come, they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are Vishnu Tattva. So they are just like Krishna himself. There is no difference. But they are not exhibiting all the powers and opulences. They come for a specific purpose and they just show limited number of powers and opulence. But when Krishna comes, he shows everything. So we have to understand that these incarnations are not different than Krishna. It's Krishna himself, but just showing a limited range of his pastimes and powers like that. And all the incarnations have a specific purpose. So if we compare a Jiva Tattva and a Vishnu Tattva. So that's the difference. So Vishnu Tattva or Krishna himself, he can go anywhere at his own will, at any time. But Jiva Tattva, if the Jiva is not purified, it's in a conditioned state because of his own desire, then he has a very limited options. So the will of a conditioned soul is very limited. The conditioned soul cannot, it can desire big things, but it has a limit. And when a conditioned soul comes into the material world, it's forced here. It's not by will. So the jiva wants to enjoy and then he's forced, you know, according to the consciousness, then birth after birth, jiva is forced. So Kapil Dev said that, you know, jiva through the small particle, it's just forced into a womb, birth after birth, like that, according to the consciousness. So that's the, but when, an incarnation has to come, that's by his own sweet will. No one can force. So when Lord wants to come as a boar, then no one can force him. He just comes in his transcendental form. So this is a very important thing that only intelligent people can understand. So people with limited fund of knowledge, they cannot understand, oh, Lord has come as a boar. So if you see a hog is actually lower animal. goes in, it lives in a filthy place, eats filthy things. But when the Lord comes as boar, it's totally different. It's transcendental. So only intelligent persons can understand that. So intelligent people, as we just mentioned, that the conditioned soul has got limited options. But as the conditioned soul, if he takes up the bhakti process, he becomes purified, then his options also expand. If you see the pure devotees, Nitya Siddha devotees and purified devotees, Sadhana Siddhas and other Siddha devotees, their activities are also not ordinary. Because they are purified, they are acting on a spiritual platform. If you see Narad Muni, he is totally purified, 100%. And he can go anywhere at his will. He can go to lower planets, upper planets, Goloka, Vaikuntha, anywhere at his will. Because he is purified. And these devotees, sometimes they can expand. Like the Nitya Siddha devotees, they are performing pastimes with Krishna in the spiritual world. But when Krishna comes to material world, it's not that he is not present in Goloka then. He is still present there and all residents are also present, but they expand and come with him. So that's how powerful a pure living entity is. But a conditioned living entity it's very limited, it's forced. But a purified living entity can actually do many wonderful things, only because the desire of a pure living entity is to serve Krishna. So for that service, then Krishna provide all the powers. If you want to serve Krishna, then all the power is provided. Like Srila Prabhupada, because his only motive was to serve Guru and Krishna, so he was empowered. So what he could do in 10-11 years, no one can even imagine. Materially it's not possible. So that's why if you're purified, you can do extraordinary things. And Lord always does extraordinary things, and the pure devotees, they always do extraordinary things. So it takes some intelligence to understand this fact. Otherwise we have very limited options in this world. So there's a verse in in 5th chapter. We are in 3rd chapter, so in 5th chapter it says that a intelligent person should think what is his purpose of life. Is the purpose, there are four goals of human life as we know: dharma, artha, kama, moksha, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. So in scriptures it is said an intelligent person never chooses the first three. He wants to get liberated like that. So that's an intelligent person. The word used in the scriptures is Kovida. Kovida is an expert. He's an expert in the knowledge of scriptures and he knows the purpose of scriptures. So he doesn't choose these goals, dharma, artha and kama. Because the result is temporary of all these things. Why would an intelligent person want to attain something which is temporary? So he doesn't want to stay in this temporary material world which is full of miseries. So he wants to, has a higher purpose. To go out of this material world and realize the spiritual nature, his spiritual nature. And when the further, the topmost level of that understanding to achieve spirituality is, it is said the fifth goal. What is the fifth goal of human life? That's prema pumartha maman, Krishna prema, to attain the love of Godhead. Of course you understand, liberation means to understand you are spirit soul, but then ultimately the highest level of understanding is that, oh, we are spirit soul but we are part of Krishna and our goal is to develop love for Krishna. So that's an intelligent person. But if purpose of a conditioned soul is the other three goals, dharma, artha and kama, then what happens? Then he just keeps wandering in this world from top to bottom. So there are different range of planets, 14 planetary system from Patal Lok to Brahma Lok. So that's what happens. You just go up and down, up and down. It is said actually if you for 100 lifetimes, in fourth canto it said, if you for 100 lifetimes you perform all your prescribed duty perfectly, then you become eligible to go become Brahma. Like that. So you can actually go to Brahma Lok and even become Brahma. But then that's also temporary. Brahma's life is so massive, so many years, trillions of years. But still, it's temporary. The existence of the whole universe, that's Brahma's life. It's just like one breath of Lord Mahavishnu. He breathes out and the universes come out, he breathes in and that's it, finished. So actually that's very tiny. If you see the entirety of existence, that's very tiny, even Brahma's life. So one can become Brahma, go to the highest platform, but still that's very temporary. And there is a danger to come down if you don't perform at the post of Brahma. If you don't perform properly, then you have to come back, you know. So that's why here in 5th chapter, Narad Muni says, there is no use to go up and down, up and down. So people are going up and down, conditioned soul goes up and down because he has these material desires that he wants to be happy in this material world. But there, it is said, why to work so hard for happiness? It automatically comes, just as misery will come. So same way, happiness will come. So no need to work so hard for it, for material happiness. Like that. So the another in fourth canto further, I was reading. So there it says. So there is a prayer actually by Lord Shiva. So he tells that who is an expert and a real intelligent person. So he says a real intelligent person who knows, who is expert in the conclusion of Vedas, he knows Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna to be the ultimate goal. So that's expertise, like that. So if one develops this understanding, then we can actually understand Lord and his activities. So in the form of boar, if we see, Lord comes, but his body is not a lower body like a hog. Whichever form Krishna comes in, that's Satchidananda Vigraha. That's Ishvara Parma Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhe Govinda Sarva Karan Karanam. So Krishna has a transcendental body full of knowledge, full of bliss, full of eternity. So all the incarnations, because they are non-different from Krishna, they also have Satchidananda Vigraha. And there is description when how Lord Boar appeared. So Lord Brahma was creating the whole universe, and it's not that he desired, but just on the sweet will of Krishna, Lord Boar himself, he came from the nostril of Brahma, just a small size of a thumb like that. And all the other demigods and all, they were astonished to see that. And Brahma was astonished, what's happening? And then Lord Boar grew in size and up to the sky within few moments. And everyone was amazed at, what is this form? And then Lord started making like a boar sound, but it was totally transcendental. And everyone was astonished. And then further, as we know, what was the purpose of Lord Boar to come? To, because earth was lying at the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean in a filthy place. So there Lord lifted the earth and saved the earth and protected the earth. So earth, we see Bhumi Devi and at many places in Bhagavatam, She appears in the form of a cow. See, in the pastime of Prithu Maharaj, what happened was, Prithu Maharaj became very angry on earth that she was not producing enough grains for the citizens. And Prithu Maharaj was a perfect king. So he became so angry that how are my citizens starving? I cannot tolerate this. So these days if you see the leaders, they don't care actually. They don't care much. As long as they are happy, everything is okay. But it's not like that. Actually, in real kings, they were actually concerned about their citizens. So Prithu Maharaj got very angry, and then he said, "I would kill Mother, kill Earth." So then Earth, in the form of cow, became very afraid, and she said, "Oh, why do you want to kill me?" And then she referred to this boar incarnation. She said, "Oh, see, previously in the form of Lord Boar, you saved me. Now you can't kill me." Prithu Maharaj is an avatar of Krishna, Shakta Vishavatar. So she said, "You can't kill me because you are my savior, you know, how can you kill me?" Then further the pastime goes, and Earth said, "Okay, I was not producing grains because there were so many rogues and thieves. That's why I was restraining all the seeds within me." So then they further earth produced for the citizens. So like that. So there is this mention. So how Lord Bhumi Devi is connected. Krishna came himself as a boar incarnation to save her. Like that. So that's the intricacies of Lord's pastimes that devotees know with their intelligence. And that we need to understand. So here in the beginning of the chapter, as we see, this creation aspect is given, how the universe is created. Karno Dakshai Vishnu, then Garbho Dakshai Vishnu, Kshiro Dakshai Vishnu, like that. So it's very important to understand these aspects of creation so that we know who are we dealing with. Every day we are saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So who is Krishna? What are his pastimes? So this pastimes of creation are very important to know. So then that develops our faith that, oh, so Krishna is not an ordinary person. He has got such beautiful pastimes in different forms, different expansions. And then we can actually develop a real appreciation. And our faith increases. As we hear more about Krishna's pastimes and we understand more about the details, then our faith keeps increasing. It's not that, oh, it's same pastime. Yeah, we have heard Lord came as boar, lifted the earth. But more we hear, if we hear every day, so more our faith increases and we get many other auspicious qualities. In many, after many pastimes, if you see, of the these incarnations, they say what are the benefits. Some places it's written, oh, if you repeat this pastime in morning and evening, you get this, like that. That's just to help us understand the benefits. They are not material benefits, but we get permanent benefit. Our faith in Krishna increases and our service, the quality of our service increases. Like that. So here, in respect to creation, there's an example that how to understand that Lord creates and then He comes within this material creation. So the example is given of a spider. That a spider, when, if you see how spider creates a web, at initial point there is only spider, there is nothing else. Then from within spider comes a whole web, and then spider lives on it and does his activities, and then it can take the web within, wind it up like that. So that's how, just a material example, if you see this in front of us, we can see that's how it happens. You can see the National Geographic Channel or some documentaries how spider acts. So spider, why does it build a whole web? Because then some insects, flies, they get stuck in it, and then spider comes quickly and entangles that insect more, and then that's it. Done for today's breakfast, lunch and dinner, done, you know, arrangements are made. But if we see spider itself doesn't get entangled in that web. So same way Krishna, there are few places in Bhagavatam this example is given about Krishna. So same way Krishna, this whole material creation comes from Krishna. And then he comes and he does his pastimes and then he goes away, winds it up. Mahavishnu breathes in, everything goes in, like that. So that's the proof that even materially we see that spider doesn't get entangled. So that's the proof. And an example we can give, why Krishna is not affected by material modes. When he comes in a full spiritual form. So that's why when we see, oh Lord, boar has come. So it's not that he has taken up mode of ignorance, a lower species. No, he is never touched by any of the modes. Because he is Satchidanand Vigraha. So when Lord Shukara comes, he is fully Lord, he is transcendental. Like that. So that's how we understand this. So that should be our purpose of life, to understand these pastimes of Krishna. Otherwise what happens, we get entangled like that insect. You know, we are entangled within the web. There are two more very interesting examples actually I read about materialists. How they actually, if they don't understand these transcendental nature of these pastimes, what happens? So there is an example of a bee and a mouse. So materialist, what he does, like a bee, materialist collects money and, you know, different bank balance, this possession, that possession, and stores it. Like a bee, you know, bee goes from one flower to another, sucks little nectar, stores it in the honeycomb, like that, and tries to enjoy there, you know. The same way materialist does, collects here, there, this flower, that flower, collects this asset, that asset, you know, builds it up. But what's the danger for the bee? Bee collects everything, but then a hunt, you know, a person, bee collector or a hunter type person, he comes, he takes the honeycomb and takes all the honey. You know, and then we have all these honey, ginger tea and everything. So bee doesn't get much actually. But all the hard work just becomes zero. So same way, a materialist, that's what happens. He keeps collecting, but actually he cannot enjoy that in the end. Wealth is just taken by his relatives or government or, you know, like that. His hard-earned money is always being taken away at every moment. He cannot enjoy that. So devotees, on the other hand, they don't collect for their own sense gratification. They use it for Krishna or Yajna. They sacrifice that for Krishna. Yajna shishta shinasanto muchyante sarva kilbishai bunjate te tvagham papa ye pachante atma karana. So those who are just collecting for their own sense gratification, they are just collecting sin. But devotees, they offer their possessions to Krishna, and that's the real sacrifice. They don't get entangled in karma, in the cycle of birth and death, like that. And another example is of a mouse. So it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, that a mouse is here and there trying to enjoy eating here, there, you know, very nicely. Very expert. Mouse is very expert. Yeah, some time back we saw some mouse in our ashram. We are not able, you know, it's just very discreetly, when no one is there, comes, eats and goes, like that. But the example in Bhagavatam says, you know, mouse can do all the things, but then a snake comes and that's it, swallows. So here it says Lord is like that. For a materialist, he may try to do whatever activities, however expertly. Then at the time of death, Krishna says, I am death. Mrityu sarva harashcham. I will take everything. Everything will be taken away. Like comes, that's it, gone. Snake comes and catches the mouse and gone. So that's the very precarious situation of a materialist. So we have to develop this attraction for Lord's pastime so that we are not swallowed by death. For devotees, time doesn't matter. Because they are hearing these pastimes of Lord. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, at each setting and rising of sun, devotees, at each rising and setting of sun is taking away the lifespan of a materialist. But for a devotee who is hearing the pastimes of Lord, for him, time doesn't matter. It doesn't affect him. So how to develop this attraction for these pastimes? We want to be attracted by these pastimes. So that's the way is submissive hearing. So there's this example of how did Rukmini Devi, how did she develop attraction for Krishna? She wanted to marry Krishna. She had never seen Krishna, but she had firm faith that I want to marry Krishna. She had so much faith, she sent a brahmana with a letter, go to Krishna and give this letter. And in that letter she said, kidnap me. I want to marry you. So if you see in a tradition Indian system of society, it's a very big thing, you know. The marriageable girl is asking, okay, kidnap me, you know. And she has not even seen Krishna. Just by hearing the qualities of Krishna and the beauty of Krishna, she got attracted. So this is this very nice verse in 52nd chapter of 10th canto, where it says, Shri Rukmini Vacha Shutva Gunana Bhuvana Sundara Shinvatam Te Nirvishyakarna Vivarair Harutongatapam Rupam Drisham Rishimatam Akhilatalabham Tvai Atyuta Vishati Chitta Patrakam Me. Shri Rukmini said in her letter as read by the Brahmana, O beauty of the worlds, having heard your qualities which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. So that's what Rukmini Devi is saying. What she did, she heard about the qualities and beauty of Krishna, and she attached her mind on Krishna. So that's what we have to do. Every day we have Bhagavatam, we are hearing qualities and beauty of Krishna, we are seeing the beauty of Krishna. So then this is the process, we attach our mind to Krishna. We follow in the footsteps of these pure devotees. And to get that devotion, we have to associate with these pure devotees. Because if someone has that attachment and love and for Krishna, only he can give us. Our own endeavor only on its own is not enough. So a pure devotee, a spiritual master, Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, they can actually give. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koe, Tava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhiha. Just a fraction, a moment, if you associate with such pure devotee, you get so much benefit, you get everything. You get the highest goal of life, Krishna fame. So the Lava Matra, what does Lava means? There is in third canto, there is this different description of time. So Lava, I had heard 1/11th or something, but there actually in our Bhakti Vaibha we were hearing. So one Lava means 8 divided by 45. 8 45th of a second. It's like something like 1/6th of a second. How short is a second? That's it. Done, you know. And if you say, or approximately 1/6th of it. For that moment, if you associate with a pure devotee, sarva siddhi ho, you get all the perfection. So that's the potency. So when these pure devotees come, we shouldn't underestimate their presence, we should take full benefit. And how we take benefit from them? By hearing from them. So when we hear from them, so these qualities of Krishna, about beauty of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, when they enter our receptive ear, when we keep our mind and heart open for these messages, then there is a change within the heart. And we also develop qualities what these exalted devotees have. Otherwise we just have a very limited concept of life, which is called the bodily concept of life. It's very limited to my body and expansions of my body and, you know, the place where I am born. That's it. It's very limited. But these exalted devotees, if we take their association, our concept of life expands. Then we see whole world as our family. And we want to help them to go to Krishna, who is our eternal father. In the conversation, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was having a conversation with Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya. So there's a very famous verse. He gave 18 explanations of one verse called Atmaram verse. He gave 18 different explanations. Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya was expert in all the Vedas, Shastras. But when he heard from Mahaprabhu, he was totally astonished. He was totally defeated. And he surrendered and became a pure devotee. And then further, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami asked various questions. And then he said, "Oh, I want to hear from you explanation of that verse, Atmaram verse, which you explained in 18 different ways to Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya." So Mahaprabhu said, "Okay." And then he gave 61 explanations of that verse to Sanatana Goswami. So there, it's written that how we were talking about our conception of life, how to expand this conception of life. We think that we are the body. So that verse, Atma Ramasya Munya Nirgantha Apyurukrame Kurvanti Ahitukim Bhaktim Ittam Bhuta Gunohari. So there, different words, Mahaprabhu took different words of that verse and gave different meanings. So the word Atma, the first word there, what is Atma? So everyone has different concept of the self. So there Mahaprabhu described that there are 7 different meanings of that word. So I'll just read that verse. The 7 different meanings of the word Atma are the absolute truth, the body, the mind, endeavor, firmness, intelligence and nature. Like that. So in a very limited concept, how materialists have, they have just that self means I am the body. And that's it. This is all in all. I am the body. So for enjoyment, I satisfy the needs of the body. So that's a very limited understanding. That's one understanding, but it's very limited. But here, Mahaprabhu is expanding on these concepts. That the Supreme Self is Krishna, the Absolute Truth. If we understand that, that's the full understanding of Atma. Otherwise, our whole life is very, our existence is on a very low level. Very, very, very low level. So we have to make some plans. We have to plan how to raise our consciousness from this bodily conception to the Krishna consciousness, to Krishna consciousness. As you see in Mahabharata, there was these two armies arranged in a very perfect way. As we see in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, it says the two the different phalanxes were arranged very nicely. So I was hearing previously the narration of Mahabharata there. It says those arrangements were amazing. And every day I think they had a different arrangement. Some was like an eagle formation, something tortoise formation, different formations to fight. So much intelligence is required. So same in our life, we cannot just take every day, okay, I'll see how the day comes. No. We have to, of course, we have to depend on Krishna, but at the same time, we have to make our plans, okay, how will I advance and go towards Krishna? A devotee is always planning, how will be my reading? How will I take time for my reading? How will I chant? How should I plan my chanting time so that there are no distractions? So like that, these are the plans. How will I do my service nicely so that I'm not just running and doing it just for the sake of it? No, with a proper consciousness. So these are the planning is required. So that's the function of buddhi, the intelligence. So we have to use our intelligence, which is topmost, which is very high as compared to other living entities, to understand these pastimes of Krishna. And then we can actually fully relish these different pastimes. So I'll stop there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, this question may be not for Chidaya Goswami, but I had this question to ask also. This one was saying that
these different identities that we have, they are called upadis or designations. But it is said, sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paretvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. Means, you have to get rid of all these upadis. I am a man, I am an Indian, Australian, I am a general manager, I am a sweeper. All these are designations. Designations means they are temporary. Okay? So you are an Indian, but you may not remain an Indian. You get, like, I got Australian citizenship, I'm not an Indian anymore. You know? Upadhi means temporary. You're a man, how long for? Till the body is there. So upadhi means temporary things we have to give away. And then, next question, what is? So now if I'm not these designations, who am I? So I'm a spirit soul. And what is the nature of that spirit soul? Jivera swarup hoye, Krishnera nitya das, Krishnasya tatastha shakti veda ved prakash. Means, what is the nature of Jiva? Jivira swarupoi Krishnera nityadas. He is Krishna's eternal servant. Krishnasya tatastha shakti. He is the marginal potency of Krishna. Veda ved prakash. So in quality, it's same to certain extent, but in quantity, it's different. So that's the nature of the soul. Servant of Krishna. So that's why every day we are saying it's a devotional service. So that's our constitutional position. That's the dharma of Jiva, is to serve Krishna. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
May not be the relevant question for this class, but I just wanted to ask, so throughout the history we have seen so many wars happening, like Mahabharata, and so many other wars happened. Like world wars and all. And what's the significance of that? All wars. what was the significance? Why these all wars and all these things happening throughout the world?
Okay.
And whoever fought the battle of Mahabharata, all they were not Krishna conscious? Or what was the background how that all happened?
Okay, so we'll take it in two parts. So first part is about the Mahabharata war. Mm-hmm. So there what happened, if you see the beginning of Krishna book, what happened, the earth in the form of cow went to Lord Brahma, that I am overburdened by these miscreants, these criminal elements, these people, demons who are overburdening me, so please help me. So then all the demigods went to Shirodakshai Vishnu, then he said, oh, Krishna himself would come and relieve the burden. So, that was the purpose of Mahabharata war. And why did Krishna, in the presence of Krishna, such a war could happen? Because he wanted to get rid of all those people. So in a shortcut way, he collected all the miscreants in one place, and whoever died on the battlefield, they got liberated because Krishna was present. So there are different stages of their liberation. They may have merged, or you know, according to their consciousness. And in Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhupada, in one purport, he writes, actually some, even on the opposing side, the soldiers that who died, but when they saw Krishna, some of them, they had appreciation for his beauty. When they saw his beauty, they said, okay, he's on opposing side, but you can't resist at least appreciating in mind that, oh, he's a beautiful person. Even Kalyavana, who ran to kill Krishna, he appreciated, oh yeah, he's very beautiful, he must be Krishna, so then want to kill him. Something like that. So then they got liberated because they saw Krishna. So that was the purpose of Mahabharata, the battle of Mahabharata. So it was based on religious principles. So that was a proper war. Only Kshatriyas were present. And Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, Samaveta, Yuyutsava, it was a Dharma Kshetra, place of pilgrimage. And the place and time, everything was, there were rules of those battles. Morning, sunrise to sunset, and you know, evening time, they could even, you know, talk with enemies like that. So there were different rules. It was a Dharma Yudha. Proper codes of conduct were there. So that's one part why Mahabharata. And then second part to these today's wars, it's like nothing. These are just because they have so many karmic reactions, so they are just killed. That's why. And you know, we say as long as there would be animal slaughter, so these wars will be there. These are like reactions. You are sending so many animals in organized slaughterhouses to kill them, and then so many people on wholesale, they are killed in wars, and they don't follow any codes. They just fire a missile, all children, women, old people, they are killed. And they don't go themselves, you know, commander in chief doesn't go in front. They are all cowards, and they get the reaction of their karma. And these wars are also nothing as compared to Mahabharata war. 640 billion people died. These are just very small wars. It's like fighting of kids, you know, it's like that. So that was real battle. Full action was there with sword and everything. Kshatriya spirit is amazing of a war. He goes in a battle, and the mood is either I will be killed or I will kill others. I won't go back. I won't run and show my back. So that's the spirit of a war. Alright? Any other question or comment? Okay, thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanand ji.